discrimination and hatred are sometimes hidden, lurking in a person's heart if not always spoken by their lips. But prejudice was often unashamed and barefaced during the era of Jim Crow segregation in the American South. Posted signs would restrict people of color from access to public facilities. I recently came across a photo depicting that time and showed it to Dr. Vincent Harding, an associate of Martin Luther King, and now emeritus professor at the Iliff School of Theology in Denver.
It's a picture of a young black man, I think at least he's young, but I'm not sure, who is bending over a very broken, dirty-looking water fountain that has the sign colored over it, attached by a pipe extending along the wall to a much more modern, adequate-looking fountain with the word white over it. The scene is from North Carolina in 1950, and it certainly is symbolic of the legally enforced segregation that was present throughout much of the South in the period up to the late 50s. And I would like to see here a man who is saying, one day this will not be, and I will be part of what it takes to change it. That is what I would like to see.
And I have another image here from Birmingham, Alabama, in 1963. Can you describe this photo?
I should say that I was in Birmingham, Alabama at this time and saw these actions of police and, in this case, firemen using fire hoses to attack mostly the young people who were giving leadership to the desegregation campaign that was taking place there in the spring of 1963. I see them frightened. I see them hoping that they will be able, through their sacrifice, to bring about changes that their parents and grandparents could not bring about, but that they hoped for.
High-powered hoses under the direction of Birmingham Sheriff Bull Connor were just one weapon used against demonstrators in the tumultuous civil rights campaigns of the 1950s and 60s. They also faced snarling police dogs, clubs, and the ordeal of being shoved and taunted by insult and epithet. Sometimes fevered mobs would assemble, determined to thwart those seeking racially equal treatment at lunch counters, on buses, and in public schools.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.
All the people of the South are in favor of segregation. And Supreme Court or no Supreme Court, we are going to maintain segregated schools down in Dixie.
The late Senator James Eastland of Mississippi, speaking in defiance of the 1954 U.S. Supreme Court decision mandating integrated public education. The court ruled that separate schools for blacks usually meant inferior schools. For African Americans, their children's future was at stake. But throughout much of the South, the machinery of government was arrayed against them, and violent protests would have been readily crushed by authorities. Dorothy Cotton, now living in Ithaca, New York.
We were all studying and learning about nonviolence, but mostly because we were just in the throes of the action, and we had mass meetings every night when, of course, we that was the theme. That was, we heard the rationale for doing what we were doing in these mass meetings, and it flowed from, you know, the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Gandhi and the teachings of, you know, the philosophers and theologians that Martin had studied. And, you know, the sermons were grounded in that teaching.
Somebody must have sense enough to meet hate with love. Somebody must have sense enough to meet physical force with soul force. If we will but try this way, we will be able to change these conditions and yet at the same time win the hearts and souls of those who have kept these conditions alive. A way as old as the insights of Jesus of Nazareth, as modern as the techniques of Mohandas K. Gandhi. That is another way.